Karis, the St. Louis Woman's Chorus, is preparing for Behind the Scenes, the second concert of the group's 23rd season. And as contributor Steve Potter found out, there are some new elements to this performance and a new director.
And that's a song called Caffeine Overload Polka, performed by Karis. The group has a concert coming up this weekend at the Missouri History Museum. Dr. Jeremiah Selvey is Karis' new artistic director. We welcome him today, along with the group's president, Sharon Spurlock. Hi to both of you.
Hi. Hello. Thanks, Steve.
And Jeremiah, welcome to St. Louis in a way. Your full-time job is in Carbondale, SIU Carbondale.
That's correct. Yes, and I commute once a week here to rehearse with Karis.
You're on the faculty there. What do you do?
I teach conducting and applied voice, as well as advanced aural skills.
And you commute once a week, so is caffeine involved in that also? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, why else would I pick that piece?
Sharon, a little bit about Karis. Number one, it's a non-audition chorus, so what should we understand about that?
Well, I think it's a place that's very welcoming to people. And I think sometimes when people hear non-audition, they think that means lower quality, but that's not at all the case. We welcome women that have a wide range of skills musically. Some of them have been engaged in singing and performance for years and years and have very, very strong skills. Other people, like myself, never had sung in a group before, so it took us a while to learn some of the things that we needed to learn. But we all kind of start where we are, and we provide a lot of support with sectionals and rehearsal tapes so that people can be really outstanding vocally by the time we get to a concert.
Jeremiah, is that new for you, working with a non-audition chorus? I know that you're involved in two other choruses as well.
Yes, I conduct a professional ensemble in Seattle. That's a very different ballgame there. And then I also direct a couple of academic choirs at SIU. So yes, it's a very different experience for me. However, it's very similar to a lot of churches, you know, where they have a community of people that come together and they have a reason for singing and a cause to sing for, and you make everyone feel a part of what's going on.
Do you have that background, church music?
I do. I actually grew up as a missionary kid and then went to Bible school, believe it or not.
Really?
That's absolutely true.
I understand you grew up in Tennessee and Spain, which is a little unusual, I guess.
Yeah, I dare you to find a combination of that anywhere else.
How do you think that's helped you?
Well, I think it provides a multicultural perspective. Having gone back and forth between Europe and the United States, and especially a place like the South in the United States, definitely your eyes are opened to the way people think and live and behave. And so it makes you question, you know, the values and morals of every location. And in a place like Karis, where there's a multiplicity of perspectives, I think it gives me more of an appreciation for the variety.
Let's pick up on that. Sharon, Karis' mission is to perform music that, fill in the blank,
celebrates women and the LGBT community. When we were founded in 1993, it was a much different situation for the lesbian community, and we had singers that didn't want their name in the program, and some people came and weren't comfortable even being on stage, being identified as a lesbian. But our chorus has always been diverse. We were actually formed by a straight woman and two lesbians, so we've been very blessed to have a lot of diversity with sexual orientation, with religion, with economics and ability. So it's nice for us to have that diversity.
Well, how many members are there?
We have just about 30 members right now.
So you don't have to fill out a form and talk about your orientation to join. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
That's one of the jokes we actually tell people, is that we won't out them as a straight woman until they've been with us for a while. So it's really important for us that everybody feels comfortable coming in the door and that we have that common mission of singing together. We talk a lot about issues that are important to all women and issues that are important to the LGBT community.
And it's interesting the attention that the transgender community has gotten recently in all sorts of ways, and that's an issue that you guys deal with too.
We do. About 5 or 6 years ago, we were approached by a wonderful transgender woman who wanted to know if Karis would be a space that she would be welcomed. And we took it very seriously and actually changed a lot of our bylaws to be very specific that we were a welcoming place for anybody that identifies as a woman. And we've had quite a few transgendered singers over the last few years. And sometimes that's a struggle vocally to be able to match your vocal part in a woman's range. But all of them have really added a wonderful diversity to the chorus.
I guess no one's concerned about restrooms or anything like that.
No, we are not concerned about restrooms.
Jeremiah, what is it about Karis that made you want to be a part of this?
Definitely the missional aspect. You know, for me as an artist, it's not only about the excellence with which an ensemble performs or an artist performs, but it's also the authenticity and humanness with which the performer performs. And so when I look at the mission of Karis, it resonates very deeply and in agreement with my own heart and my own mission. And going back to the way I was raised, I grew up in the church and I grew up with this idea of making music around a specific cause and around a specific doctrine or theology or purpose. And even though I may not subscribe to that whole belief system in the same way that I did as a child, the desire to make a difference with my music is still very much a part of who I am. And that is what attracted me to Karis.
Sharon, I think you've said that Jeremiah is here to challenge the chorus. Is he here to change it, shape it? I mean, what's your vision here?
I think every artistic director comes in with their own vision, and absolutely we anticipate that that will happen. We've been very fortunate to have strong vocal educators, which I think are really important in our group, people that are committed to helping us really create a very, very high quality sound, which is a lot more technical than you might think. And Jeremiah has been excellent at being able to really raise our voices to the next level. And I think he has also challenged us to put our mission at the forefront in some of the work he's wanting us to perform and how we've created concerts to get that mission across.
Well, how do you feel about your short time at the helm here? And do you have a long-term goal? Or are you tweaking this slowly as you go along or what?
Well, I think there's always a long-term goal, and it's dangerous to sometimes say what that long-term goal is just because you don't want to scare people. But I think long-term, for me, I would love to see Karis having an impact not only in the St. Louis community but all over the state of Missouri. And that's a kind of a dream. But at this point for me, I want to keep seeing Karis engaging people and entertaining people and at the same time making people change the way that they think about something.
All right, the concert this weekend is Behind the Scenes. It sort of tells a story. What's it about?
It's kind of interesting for me to see how it's played out. I'm sure Jeremiah would like to talk about this, but I will say that the first half of the concert really takes our audience back 14 weeks from when we got to the rehearsal space and started talking about what are we going to perform? Why are we going to perform it? Why is it that the sopranos get all the good parts and the altos have to sing the bass line and we don't get to sing the melody? So all of those things we were able to communicate with in vignettes. And then the second half will be actual sets that we're going to perform at other shows over the course of the summer.
I think Sharon sums it up very, very well. I don't have anything to add.
But Behind the Scenes actually tells a story. There's narration in it. It tells sort of a story.
It does. As Sharon alluded to, we go back 14 weeks and then you kind of go through a sequence of vignettes that kind of show all of the behind the scenes aspects from the board meetings that go into planning and the production side of a concert to the rehearsal process, what happens before rehearsal, what kind of conversations do people have that you want to know or don't know, and what about, you know, some of the things that happen with a social aspect. Do we have a social aspect? Well, yes, we do. And so we kind of let all that go. And in some ways, it's a very vulnerable experience for a chorus to do that because normally we want to be on stage and we want to be prim and proper and we want to show people the finished product. But this is a moment for us to let down our hair, so to speak, and just be who we are.
Show your dirty laundry a little, sure.
Yeah, sadly, everyone is going to learn that the sopranos don't bring good snacks to rehearsal.
Without giving too much away, what are some of the other things in this storyline that might be interesting?
One of the things I found really interesting was a vignette before we sing one particular piece of music that kind of talks about why we aren't tied to one vocal style. And I'd really never thought about it before, but it's because of our interest in respecting diversity that we want to be able to sing not only a Gregorian chant, but a gospel-style song and a song from another culture that's sung in another language. And we do all of that. So that part was really fun for me.
Is that something, Jeremiah, to expect in every concert, or is that specific to this one?
Ideally, I program specifically with diversity in mind. So you can't hit every area or aspect of culture or society in one concert. But over the long haul, my goal is that we're representing a wide variety.
So who is the audience?
Well, you know, hopefully everybody that's listening to this will feel welcome and want to come and see our show, because we want everybody in our community to know what we're doing and be a part of it. Obviously, we've had a strong connection to the LGBT community, but we also have friends in many communities that will join us. We've invited some church friends. We've invited some youth organizations and other people to come and join us for this concert in the audience, because we want them to be able to experience what we do. So I hope everybody will come and give us a chance.
So, Jeremiah, you said you commute from Carbondale. Mm-hmm. Once a week?
It's once a week at least. So every Tuesday, I come and rehearse every Tuesday night. And then during a week like this week, production week, I'm coming back and forth every single night.
What are rehearsals like? And since it's a non-audition chorus, I mean, are you looking for people?
We're always looking for people. In fact, one of the things that one of the vignettes shows is, if you sing in the shower, we'll take you. And really, the idea is that we want to give everyone who has a voice in our group. And so when I listen to singers, I'm simply listening to find a place in the choir. So where do they fit the best? In what range? Mm-hmm. And then we equip you with the skills that you need to be successful along the way.
Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And Sharon, I know that you assign a value, I guess is a way to put it, to each of those letters.
Yeah, the last time we did a strategic plan for the chorus, we kind of thought about what it is that we stood up for. And so our values are commitment, humor, ambition, respect, inclusiveness, and spirit. And I think that really does sum us up well.
Well, I hope you have a great concert this weekend. And Jeremiah, it's nice to meet you. And we look forward to seeing you every week, I guess.
Thank you.
Hey, let's go out with another work by Charis. This is Balustrade. What's that?
It's a French piece, and it's actually a piece about a poor person who is praying to basically die and go to heaven because there is a wine that's so tasty and so good that the only way that that poor person is ever going to taste it is by going to heaven.
Steve Potter talked with Charis Artistic Director Jeremiah Selvey and President Sharon Spurlock. Charis will present behind the scenes in concerts Friday and Saturday night at 8 in the Missouri History Museum Auditorium. More details are available at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. We'll be back in a moment with an example of the international flavor of music. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.